Welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol? My honey boo.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It is April 9th, 1999.
It is.
We are rocketing towards the spring.
It feels like it's already the spring.
It does feel like it's already the spring, but technically it's not the spring. Hmm. Or is it the spring? When's the vernal equinox, everyone? It's this month, I think,
I
right?
Think it's in May, actually.
Is it in May?
Maybe even in June.
No, because it's going to be summer.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, I was thinking about summer.
Wait a second. So, the winter solstice is in
December 21st.
December. So, December, January, February. So, I think March, that was it. It was in March.
So, it is spring.
Yes, it is spring.
We are not just rocketing towards there. We are month. There.
It is. Everyone might be wondering why we're filling time trying to figure out what season it is. Because I don't have any news this week. I'm sorry, everyone. I looked through the paper. I did my due diligence, and it's a slow news week.
That's okay. I mean, if people really want the news, they could always pick up a newspaper.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's in the news that we don't talk about. There's politics stuff. There's Kosovo stuff.
Right.
There's a bunch of downer stuff we don't talk
tornadoes.
About. Exactly. Yeah. Tornadoes, rocketing cities in Ohio. Shout out, Ohio. There's not a lot of entertainment news going on right now. People are making movies and stuff like that. There was a news report about Martin Scorsese maybe making a Dean Martin biopic movie, but
oh, you would love that.
I would love it. Martin Scorsese given that treatment to Dean Martin.
Yeah.
The King of Cool. But anyway, speaking of the King of Cool, do we have a new King of Cool?
Do we?
Is his name Heath Ledger? Carol, tell me the 10 things you hated about this movie. 10 things I hate about you.
So I don't think there are 10.
Oh, wow, okay.
I don't even know that I'd say I hated anything about the movie.
Oh, you didn't like that. You did not like this movie.
What are you talking about?
You said you hated it.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
He's putting words in my mouth, people. Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
What's wrong? What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
You know, now that we're married, you've softened, though. You know me so much more now because the what's wrong with you doesn't have the same sting that it did in the early years where I'd say something and you'd be like, what is wrong with you?
Well, you're just less offensive now.
Am I?
You have softened. That's
oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not good. Anyway. So this movie, 10 Things I Hate About You, an adaptation of
Taming of the Shrew
by Shakespeare. They make a couple of Shakespeare references.
See, okay, so Julia Stiles is supposed to be like the shrew or whatever. And
Kate.
I don't think she's that much of a shrew.
You don't think so?
No, do you?
Because of her character, you mean?
Yeah.
Because she thinks that women should have equal pay and shit like that. Is that what you mean? Like, that's why they think she's a shrew?
Yeah, I mean, like, she didn't seem... It's not like in Shakespeare or with Elizabeth Taylor's character in the movie The Taming of the Shrew. Like, she was bitchy. This girl wasn't really that bitchy. And the bitchiness she had was justified.
I do think it's funny that the bitchiness that she was supposed to have is, like... You know, there's men dominate women sometimes, and it's like, oh, what a bitch!
Yeah, how dare we like not love that?
Perhaps we should have more feminine voices talked about in our English class instead of just all the same old dead white guys.
Right?
It's like, oh, what a shrew you are!
Go to the principal's office.
This is one thing that I think is funny. So, real quick, I do. Whoever cast this movie. Excellent job casting. Julia Stiles, this is the first thing I've seen her in. You know, she's done, I guess, a couple other things when she was a little bit younger. That's how time works, everyone. but the first thing I've seen her in, and this dude, Heath Ledger, was in Ship to Shore and Home and Away. One's Home and Away is a Australian soap opera. He's Australian, everyone.
Okay.
And Ship to Shore is some kind of like, I don't know, weird Australian. Like, it seems almost like maybe it's like a Australia's Baywatch or something like that.
Interesting.
I don't know. I've never seen it. We're not from Australia.
No.
But he was in those two things, and that's essentially it.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar, you know, with him either. Another thing, though, he's like the main love interest of the movie.
Yeah.
He's not that hot.
He's the guy. Percutio.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was that attractive. Hot. I mean, he's charming.
Dimples. He's got dimples.
Sure, he's got a cute smile. Yeah. But when he's not smiling, he's not that attractive. Yeah, you have dimples too.
What? No.
Yeah, I am a sucker for dimples, but I mean, first of all, he's blonde, so, you know, we got that going.
That's
on,
true. So. Blonde, curly-haired.
And it's not even, like, nicely styled. It's just, like, some frizzy-ass curly hair. I don't know. Wow. There's just a lot about his face. I don't think he's that good looking.
He has very severe features. So I think that it makes a lot of sense that I think he's the kind of guy people are either going to be like, oh, he's really good looking, or, ooh, I did not think he's good looking at all.
And then Julia Stiles, like, she's pretty, sure, but she also has severe features. Yeah. Can you imagine if those two had kids?
Oh my God, you could cut rocks with their faces.
Exactly.
If they had kids, they would have been one of those cranes that Fred Flintstone was using.
There you go. Oh my God.
Why did my parents have to have prominent chins? Anyway, you know how the people talk in those shows.
Sure.
You're calling you. That's a crap job. I don't know. So I liked both of them, though, and I think they have good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I liked about this movie, so spoiler alert, everyone, I liked the movie. I actually thought this was a very cute, charming film.
It was cute.
We've watched a lot of teen movies so far this year.
There's a lot of teen movies this year.
You know, we broke it up with The Matrix, or however you pronounce that. But we had She's All That,
mm-hmm.
which Gabrielle Union, the black friend of Bianca, of Alex Mack's own Bianca. She was Alex Mack. Julia Stiles' little sister. Her black friend was also the black friend of the main popular girl in She's All That.
Okay, yeah.
So she's been in both of them. But we saw She's All That. Then we saw a one that kind of broke up the trope, I guess, of teen movies in Cruel Intentions. And now we're back to a more standard teen movie kind of thing.
Cruel Intentions is a teen movie?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it broke, like, the She's All That's like the sweet cookie cutter. This is the romantic comedy, like, blueprint. Then there's Cruel Intentions, which is a teen movie, but, like, messed up. You know, not the cookie cutter kind of. This is somewhere in between, I think. There's no, like, messed up stuff, really, that happens in this. But it's not 100% cookie cutter either. I like that this movie seems to take place in a completely alternate reality. Like, there is surrealism in this movie. I don't know if you felt that, too, but
yeah.
Aesthetically and stylistically, it doesn't function exactly like the real world functions.
Right.
Because we go to the principal's office, and the principal, Allison Janney, is writing an erotic fiction novel, and everyone seems to know it. She's asking for other words for engorged and, like,
I thought she was the guidance counselor. I didn't realize she was with the principal.
She's the principal.
Interesting. That's even worse.
She keeps getting, because people keep getting sent to the principal's office. We've got Third Rock from the Sun's Joseph Gordon-Levitt there.
Yeah.
Who's the new kid in school. And he's like, how does this school work? And she's like, I write smut, and everyone knows it. And when some guy comes in and says that he used his bratwurst or like used bratwurst to mimic a penis in the cafeteria, I'm going to put that in my book.
It sounds like an awful book.
And then people just get sent out of class, as you alluded to, for no reason. They just
like,
go,
I don't like you. Get out of here.
They go nowhere. Like when they sneak out of detention, there's no like. I don't even understand like why he couldn't just stay in detention. But
yeah, she snuck him out. He gets. Why did he get put in detention?
He gets put in detention for singing to her.
Oh, because that okay, that one scene.
So there's two there. Normally, these things follow a three-act structure,
mm-hmm.
where there's the introduction, we get to know our characters, what our characters' goals are and everything. Act two is the whatever the problem is. They're in a romantic comedy, it's they, you know, they have the friction, whatever. In She's All That, it's, oh, I was just a fucking bet, fuck you, you know, kind of thing. And then the third act is the resolution of all that stuff, the climax, the falling action, and the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, there's two. There are two that feel almost completely manufactured, like, problems to keep them separated.
Okay.
One is that he doesn't fuck her when she's drunk.
Yeah.
Which seems really weird. But, like,
well, not that he didn't want to kiss her, but she had just puked. Mm-hmm. She had literally just puked, too. So, like, I mean, both, you know, he didn't want to take advantage of her, I'm sure. But also, I mean, he probably would have given her a little kiss or something. But she just puked.
Yeah, she had puked.
You don't want to puke kiss a puke mouth?
You don't want to puke a kiss mouth, either. That's also bad.
Gross.
But it's... That seemed weird.
Mm.
That all of a sudden she was like, oh, well, fucking don't ever talk to me again. So, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, you're monsters for listening to this. But also, I'll just, real quick, it's The Taming of the Shrew. Essentially, Larry Miller, comedian Larry Miller, has two daughters, and he doesn't,
he's a gynecologist.
A gynecologist, an OBGYN.
He delivers babies.
Yeah. And he is, like, terrified that they're going to get knocked up.
Oh, my God, yeah, it's all he talks about.
And instead of, like, he has a thing, like a suit that they can put on that mimics having a pregnant belly and full breasts or whatever. And, yeah, so he's, instead of just having a conversation with them, well, the mom left, too, so that's part of it, so there's no feminine
right.
kind of presence in the household. So he makes a rule, well, you can't date unless your sister dates. And the sister is a man-hater, I guess. She's a shrew.
Yeah, so the younger sister, like in The Taming of the Shrew, is the prettier, more desirable sister.
I guess, yeah.
And then we've got the shrew, who's like this gorgeous, intelligent person with a bit of an edge to her, so she's a shrew. Because she's a feminist, I guess.
Because yeah. she listens to, what the hell's the name of that band?
I don't know. I don't know which band you're talking about, baby.
I can't remember the name of it either, but it's a feminine band, I guess.
But yeah, so he says that the young, pretty one who's getting asked out can't go on a date until mm-hmm. the other one does. And what's funny about that is you'd think that she'd never been on a date or had a boyfriend or anything based on that, but she right. has.
Yeah, she
I
has.
Guess she just kept the whole thing a secret, though.
Yeah, she dated, so... Spoilers, she dated the asshole guy that is trying to fuck Alex Mack.
Yeah, her younger sister.
She dated him, and they had...
Freshman year.
And they had sex.
They had sex, and then she didn't want to do it anymore. She wasn't ready, so he broke up with her.
Yeah, she regretted it. He wasn't good at it, obviously. And he had a small penis.
She did say that, yeah.
Letters to Cleo, that's the name of the band.
Okay.
So they go see Letters to Cleo at a club or something like that. And then later, Letters to Cleo interrupts the ska band Save Ferris, most known probably for their cover of Dexy's Midnight Runners hit song, Come On Eileen.
Okay.
You know, but they do the, because, yeah, you heard it, right? Tooraloo-ray.
I know the song. I didn't know there was like a cover of it.
Oh, with his say with Amy. Yeah, it's Save Fierce.
Okay.
I have the album. Anyway, so that's the band. But yeah, what were you saying?
I don't know. I was trying to explain the point of the movie, and then we got a little derailed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little hopped up on caffeine.
You're all good. You're
so
all
I'm all over the place. But no, they, the older guy, I guess, or whatever, because he's older than Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the one that's trying to fuck Alex Mack, because they're both trying to get with Alex Mack.
So yeah, the younger one from Third Rock on the Sun.
Third Rock on the Sun.
From the Sun.
It's that Third Rock right there on the Sun.
And the other guy who's an asshole who slept with the older sister.
Hi!
They're both after the younger girl.
Yeah.
And then which one of them the asshole pays Heath Ledger's character to go after the older sister?
Well, here's the thing. So we've got David Krumholtz. Only Krumholtz, everyone. We love him. He's like, he befriends Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, right? And this whole thing comes up with Larry David, not the creator of Seinfeld, everyone, Larry Miller, where Larry Miller's like, you know, she's got a date, the shrew's got a date before you can date. So they find this out, and it's like, it's a mix of scheming, like, all over the place. So Alex Mack is like, she's talking to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who it makes it very clear he likes her. She wants the older guy, the one that she doesn't know, but fucked her sister. If she knew that, she probably wouldn't be interested in him at all.
Right.
And she's like, well, you know, if we can get somebody to date my sister, then I can go on a date. Maybe not with you, but I can go on a date. And he's like, okay, so he and Krumholtz are like, we're gonna make this happen. And they try to talk to a bunch of different people. In a really weird scene, they're like, they get a bunch of like undesirables, I guess, together. There's a fat guy, a guy that looks like a nerd.
Spazoid. Why do they assume that she can only have an undesirable guy go after her?
Because she's a shrew. They're the only ones that would want to. Good-looking guys can fuck whoever they want to.
Apparently
they can
not.
Fuck 1,000 Alex Maxes. But anyway,
she's so pretty. It's just irritating.
She is.
Yeah.
Oh, Julia Stiles, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think I was talking about?
Alex Mack.
I don't know who that is.
That's the little sister.
She's also very pretty.
She's fine. But anyway, so this scene is weird. It's funny, but it's weird because they all say like, hey, do you want to, date Kat? We want somebody to date Kat, right? And then it's a montage of cuts, like cut, cut, cut. There's a chair and then all of them are in the shot where he asks the question. They're all standing there behind them. And then individually, we get cut, each one of them in a chair, reacting to that, like, no way, man. I don't think so. So, and then the fat guy, the last guy, just screams, just like, ah! So it's like, the logic of this scene is that he asks the question so they can all hear it, and they all stare at him in silence until they're put in the chair, and then they respond, and the fat guy's reaction the last time is a scream that he has presumably held the entire time since they asked him the question.
Oh, my God.
It's a funny scene, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because they're all there when the question's asked.
Yeah.
So then they realize they've got to go to Heath Ledger's character because he's a piece of shit, too, or whatever. And he maybe went to jail. There's a lot of rumors about him. Because he wasn't there last year in school.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a year of school, and now he's back. We get all that backstory later. So Krumholtz is like, we need somebody to pay him. We don't have any money. So they realize the older guy wants to get with Alex Mack, too. So they trick him into paying him.
The younger guy, you mean?
What younger guy? Joseph Gordon-Levitt's the younger guy.
Yes.
The older guy is the one that pays Heath Ledger.
Oh, okay.
As I just explained to our audience, and presumably you, I guess, their scheme is that we don't have the money to pay him, but it's going to require money to get this job done. We're going to trick him into paying them because he's going to think, oh, I'll pay him and then I can get with her, but we're going to get you with her, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right, right, right.
That's the, I'm just going to call him JGL.
That's, I wish you could remember his name from the movie. That'd be even better.
I don't know any of their names.
I know, I don't either.
There's Cat, mm-hmm. where that's Julia Stiles. I don't remember fucking Heath Ledger's character.
Yeah, I don't know either, any other names. Too bad it's too dark to take notes in the theater.
It's supposed to be Petruchio, because that's what it is in Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's got a friend, too, and I don't know her friend's name, Julia Stiles. The one that Krumholtz ends up with.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's how the plot gets going.
Right.
And then he's trying to woo her and everything. He's like, I'll do it for 50 fucking bucks or whatever. And I think it gets up to 100 or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, he tries to woo her. Are you okay? Oh my God. She's like falling out of her chair, everyone.
I am not. I had to yawn. Sorry.
So he tries to woo her, and then we get to, he's like, he's making headway. He learns all about her from the Joseph Gordon-Levitt and David Krumholtz, who get with the sister and like, hey, go through her room and let us see what she, you know, what she's into and stuff. That's why he goes to see letters to Cleo. But he's using inside information to lie about himself and try to get closer to her. And apparently fall in love with her at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they go to a party. She dances.
Yeah, she gets drunk and dances on the table. Mm-hmm. And falls.
And that's when she pukes. And that's when he won't fuck her. And then all of a sudden she's like, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
She didn't try to fuck him. I don't know why you keep saying that. She just tried to kiss him and he rejected the kiss. Again, because she just fucking puked.
Yeah, but why did she get so mad?
She felt rejected. She didn't, you know, she didn't like that.
And they act like Heath Ledger was a jerk for not taking advantage of her when she's drunk. And they're like, look, you embarrassed her. So now you've got to embarrass yourself. So go sing this song. Go sing, I love you, baby. And if it's quite all right, I need you, baby.
Yeah, he gets like the marching band in on it and everything. And yeah, does a big spectacle and security's chasing him around. This is like crazy to me. Like, you think he'd be in more trouble, honestly?
I guess. I don't even see why he's in that much trouble. What did he do wrong? The marching band decided to play on their own during a practice. He told them, hey, play this song. But like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not like a get you in trouble kind of thing. The only thing he did was take a microphone.
I guess you're right. I guess it is kind of stupid. But like, because he was like running and making them chase him and they like fell down and stuff, I feel like he'd get in trouble for that.
Why does the school have so much security?
And like, they don't truly seem like they care about anything anyway. So why do they care so much about that? It's a very good question.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird. Yeah. And they go to school in this like giant fucking castle. Like it's really weird.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's part of, I really like the aesthetic of the movie and I like the tone that it sets and everything. I think that's what works. The acting is very good in it too, but I think that's what works most about the movie is its tone and atmosphere that it builds. And it all kind of works. It has its own, it's not the real world, but it has its own like internal logic. It's a, like a heightened version of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why he gets into tension. And that's when Joe Isuzu shows up, David Leisure, who is her coach and also a teacher there at the school. And to distract him so that Heath Ledger can get away, she flashes her breasts at him.
Yeah, she's not wearing a bra. You can tell that because of her back is exposed. And she shows her bare breasts to her teacher.
Yeah.
And does not get in any trouble.
Yeah, like that's fucked up.
It's very fucked.
I mean, I guess good job to Joe Isuzu for not like lusting after her or whatever, for being like, what the fuck? Like, he seemed appalled by the situation.
Yeah.
That is the correct response. But, like, that has to be awkward now. She has to see him in practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I would have done that. Like, just wait an hour for your boyfriend to get out of detention, lady.
Exactly.
But anyway. And then they go on a boat ride. Like, right. They're pedaling one of those pedal boats together when she gets him out of detention. Like, that's not, like, a normal teenage activity.
Yeah, that was worth it, by the way.
So weird. Like, you'd imagine if they're in the real world, they would have just gone and sat in their car and made it out or something. Mm-hmm. They would not be pedaling boats after school.
Maybe she threw up again. They had to pedal it off or whatever.
And then, you know, in the background, like, prom's coming, and her sister wants to go to prom, and the dad's like, absolutely not, unless your sister goes. And, yeah.
You're not going to get an opportunity to get pregnant out there unless both of you are having an opportunity to get pregnant.
I feel like he thinks they're going to stay together and prevent that from happening, but I don't know why he would think that, because it's not like they hang out.
Yeah, it's weird. If Alex Mack was more like, I can't wait to have a penis inside me or whatever, and Kat was different, like, I'm never having sex ever again or whatever, then maybe it would make more sense, but that's not really the case here, so yeah. I don't know.
It's weird.
But yeah, so they do end up going to prom, and that's when the older guy, so before that, actually, the younger girl, Bianca, is the younger sister's name.
Okay.
I keep calling her Alex Mack, but I know the Kat and Bianca are the two. So Bianca realizes that the older dude is, an asshole, because he's supposed to be some kind of model or whatever, and he's always just let me check this pose out. What do I look like here? Which one of these identical headshots do you think is better?
Yeah, he's very, very full of himself.
Yeah, so he's very vain, and he's just an empty-headed idiot. Mm-hmm. And she realizes then that she likes Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes to prom with him.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Even though the older one asked her out, and I think was under the impression that they were going to go.
Yeah.
Because he shows up, and Larry Miller's just like, get the fuck out of here, and closes the door on him.
Yeah.
So, at the prom, he says, he lets the cat out of the bag that he paid Heath Ledger, and she's all pissed off.
And then she forgives him entirely too easily.
She forgives him. Like, it's, like I said, a lot of the conflict seems manufactured. Mm-hmm. But then... yeah, she forgives him immediately because he buys her a guitar.
I guess he's just like, he uses the money he got to buy the guitar, so he didn't actually benefit.
He's like, I didn't care about the money because I ended up falling in love with the person. She's like, really? Yeah, this guitar proves it. She's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then they live happily ever after.
I guess she's going to go to Northwestern.
Yeah.
That's in Illinois.
Yeah.
Right? No, Sarah Lawrence. Sarah Lawrence, that's where she's going.
I don't know where that is, but Northwestern is in Illinois.
Sarah Lawrence, it's West or East Coast, I mean. It's East Coast.
It's a feminine college, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't.
Because the movie's over.
We have to watch 11 Things I Hate About You.
But it's a cute little story, whatever.
It is. I mean, it's a story you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... like,
if
I,
you like Shakespeare.
Like I said, I think that I think the acting stand out in this. And it's a cute, quirky, kind of a different film.
Yeah. I would recommend.
I would too. I would say go to the theater.
Yeah.
I think it's worth your time.
Even though Heath Ledger, again, is not that good looking.
According to you.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is the... episode, Carol, so why don't you tell people where they can find good-looking guys?
So you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/retrolatefee.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Yes.
And share the tapes with your friends. Right. Oh, wait, and write us.
Oh, yeah.
Write at us. latefee1994@aol.com. Okay. Right.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.